Today, let's begin. Let's continue where we left off. We're on. Okay, let's continue where we left off. We're on page where it says on the top Beis Amud Aleph Perek Rishayin on the bottom where it says Nisuin in Isha She Mi Bugeres Mehabal, marrying a girl who's older than you. Okay, what does Halacha have to say about the age of the Chasen Kala? Is it ideal that the chasen should be older than the kala? Or is it ideal that the kala should be older than the chasen? Or it doesn't make one bit of a difference? Okay, so what does halacha have to say about... Okay, so let's see what it says. Nisuin imisha shemi bugeres mehabal. The sefer eitz chayim kosaf. She'ein ho'isha niskenes ad gemar tikun ha'odam. We focus on ma'aseh bereishis. Ein ho'isha niskenes ad gemar tikun ha'odam. V'zeh she'kosav le'toyf ha'yos adam levado. Let's look at ma'aseh bereishis. Let's take a sign. Let's take a limud from creation. Creation. Who came first? Who was older? Adam or Chava? In ma'aseh bereishis, Adam. Adam came first, and then Hashem said, "Le'toyf ha'yos Adam levadai." E'eseloi ezer kinegdo.
Or they were both together,
and they were separated.
Right.
Yeah, but even if you learn that they were separated, it would appear that she. She was not complete until
she was separated.
Until separated.
And neither was he because she gave her up.
Okay, let's see. But the simple reading of the Pesukim in the Torah indicates that Adam existed before Chava existed. Adam was present. Adam was functional. He was naming all of the creatures, all of the animals. And Adam said, "Well, I don't have a zivik for myself." And then Hashem said, "Okay, so I will activate your zivik." So from they learn from Ma'aseh Bereishis, Adam was older than Chava. The Einish Niskenes Ad Gematik and Adam Zeh Shekosav Leitoy V'Yosav Mulado Ki Achar Hagdolas HaZochar. After the maturity of the male, Adayin Hanekeva Ketana Ve'Ein Hanukva Niskenes Ad Gemar Atikon HaZochar L'Chein Onoroyim V'Chush Haru'us Ve'Ateva Ki Ish Godol B'Shonim Me'Ishtai. And therefore we see. Okay, what is he saying over here? He's saying another idea. After a man becomes mature, dying ha nekeva kitana, ve'ein hanukva niskenes ad gemar tikun azochar lechein onu roim b'chush ruus v'atevak yoish gadol b'shonim yishtai. Okay, so he's making an observation. He's now getting what he's saying over here is not much. We have to read the entire thing. What he's saying over here that in his time, ruba de ruba, I don't know what the statistics are in the world at large, but ruba de ruba. It appears that the husbands are older than their wives. Right?
Bas Pliny le Pliny. So Pliny was around.
Pliny,
Bas Pliny wasn't.
Who says, Bas Pliny le Pliny, who says, when a person is born, they say Bas Pliny, when the 40,
so
40
Pliny
days...
Pliny is around. Because he's saying Bas Pliny le Pliny.
Yeah, you get it. He's saying Bas Pliny, when a girl, obviously when a girl is born, it's saying you're going to marry this.
But what about when a boy is born?
Pliny was there for
40 days before Yetzirah Savlad.
In the Lashon, way the Gemara says it. So
Bas Pliny, le Pliny.
So the father of the girl is around. The boy is around. So when the boy is born,
he wants to make that deal, that's all.
What's your deal? Bas Pliny...
Why is it Bas Pliny? Why doesn't it say her name?
Plinus. Plinus le Pliny. Why doesn't it say Plinus le Pliny?
That's an old cut.
So you want to say, okay, there are many answers, but you want to say that Bas Pliny has a connotation of what? That she doesn't exist?
Pliny is not around, but the Pliny is around.
The Pliny is already present, and the Bas Pliny is yet to be born.
Right.
Because she's... You want to say Bas, and relative to Pliny, means that she has not yet come into this world.
Right.
The person already is born, so we're calling him Pliny, and we're calling his Zivug, his future wife, called the Bas Pliny, not Plinus, to indicate that she's not yet in existence. She has yet to come. Okay, interesting idea. Fine. Okay, but over here, we're saying, over here, in this idea, he's telling us what the Mitzvah says. We're taking a model from Ma'aseh Bereishis. In Ma'aseh Bereishis, Adam was older than Chava, and he says, for that reason, look at what goes on in the world out there. I'm imagining this is a statistical fact that most of the world, the husbands are older than their wives. However, Dvarim Elu Huvu Gam Sefer Pido es Avraham. V'chaytsev al kach shechidashu shebi Yerushalayim noagu al piva. Look what it says over here. In Yerushalayim it was the custom. You can go research this. It'll be fascinating. You can find some statistics to prove this to be true. Noagu pirov sheisha tehei gedoyla meho ish v'hoi lohem liyizar bohe. He says that in Yerushalayim traditionally it was the custom that the wife was older. So he's just saying that it's very nice. You have a mukar from the Chamish Chum Shetar from the Chumash Parish, but it's not the Minig Olam. The Minig Olam was traditionally the wife was older than the husband in Yerushalayim. Today, is that true today in Yerushalayim? I doubt it. But that's what it says and what it was existed in this time in the same Patesha of Avram. Next, Vinele, come on. Nechlku Hamaroyim Bepasik, Vayoymer Melech Mitzrayim, this Ligmar Dafyomi coming up in a few days. Vayoymelech Mitzrayim Lam Yaldos, Rivios, Mi Hoyu Hame Yaldos, Hudam Yaldos, Machloikis, Rav Shmuel. Chanama one says, Isho Bita, Vacharamar, Kala Vichamaitza. Mandiyama Isho Bita, Yoycheved. Miriam, Moshe's sister, she was poor. Uman d'amar kala v'chamoisa, it was Yecheved and her mother-in-law, which was Elisheva. Elisheva was older. Elisheva was the mother-in-law of Yecheved. Kala v'chamoisa.
She was Aaron's wife.
Aaron's wife. That was Elisheva.
Yeah.
Elisheva was Aaron's wife, and Yocheved
was her mother-in-law.
Yocheved was her mother-in-law. Okay, so now, what do we want from that? So here we go. So now, if that's going to be true, that Elisheva was the wife of Aaron, was she older than Aaron or was she younger than Aaron? Now, Elisheva zo kosav Rashi hoisa bita. Who was this Elisheva? Okay, that's what bita shalami nadav. Ishtoi shel Aaron, who was the wife of Aaron. Now, Omnam, before Shahamedrush, now that Hiskashu, Kesa Yitochin shel Yisheva hoysa oz Isha shel Aaron, Mahaloi Aaron hoya oz ben Gimel, oi Gimel Shonim. Sharei Aaron Godol mi Moshe Gimel Shonim. If this woman, what's going on? Tell me over here that this moment in time, this was Elisheva. Elisheva was. Was the Mialos. But Aaron, at this point, Aaron was only 3 years older than Moshe Rabbeinu. If he's 3 years older than Moshe Rabbeinu...
Future wife.
But she was 3 years old when she was already serving as a Mialedes. L'chor, she had to be a little bit older than that. So that has to mean that she was older than Aaron. Because she had to at least be, let's say, 10 years old. And Aaron at this point in time was only 3 years old. So you have here a raya that Elisheva, we have a right to assume, he's not giving us, we don't exactly know for sure with certainty, but it would appear that the Mialedes is going to be at least 4 years old. Aaron at this point in time is definitely not older than 3 years old. Aaron was 3 years older than Moshe Rabbeinu. And at this point in time, according to this Medrash, Elisheva at this moment in time was serving as the Mialedes. She is witnessing the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. A Mialedes, L'chor, is not going to be 3 years old. It's going to be at least 4 years old. Okay, maybe 10, maybe 20 years old, whatever it is. And Aaron is only 3 years old. So that since Aaron will one day marry this woman, we have a raya that Aaron HaKohen's wife was older than himself.
Rucha was very tiny when she was not 3 years.
She was not 3. Okay, fine. So they matured very quickly. But Aaron, so you want to say that she was 2 years old when she was serving as a Mialedes? It's a stretch to say such a thing. Aaron was 3 years old, and here we have the Mialedes. Enough. Let's see. Okay, so you want 2 years old? Possibly. Okay, but the Pashtus, I think what he's trying to say is that it would make a lot more sense if Elisheva was at least 4 years old.
When
right?
When Rivka got married, she was 3, right?
When Rivka got married, she was 3, correct. But it would make so, but, okay, let's see. Okay, so this is an observation. Thank you very much. Ochain the Mishbereyam Kosav Liashev Shabizman Ze Adai Lohoisa Lisheva Isha Shalaron the Afloi Kalosa Shal Yocheved. At this moment in time they were not married. Okay, that's not a kasha. Vinikro Ashes Aaron Al Shame Ha'osir refers to the future. The reason why we're calling Kala Vichamoisa does not yet mean that she was actually married to him. Of course, only 3 years old. It means Al Shem Ha'osir. Oid Kosav Liashev Shitochen Shihoisa Gidoyla Me Aaron. Become a shonim, v'chein beer b'yefei Talmud. So that's what we tried to say, is that if you're going to learn, assume that it's a given that in ancient times the Kala had to be younger than the Chassan, how could it, that would have to mean that Aaron was 3 years old and he was married to a two-year-old. And a two-year-old is serving as a Mialedes. That's far-fetched to say. But if you're going to sell Talshem Ha'asr on the future, what's going to be in the future, that they will one day get married, and you'll also say that she was older than Aaron, then it's not so far-fetched to say that she was 10 years old at this point in time, and she was serving as helping this woman, Yocheved, to help the women give birth, and ultimately, years later, she would marry Aaron when Aaron became an adult. So then, what do we take out of that? If we say all of that is true, which makes logical sense, the result would then be that a Chassan, an Aaron HaKohen, married a woman who was older than himself. So you see that it's not such a strange thing that it can be done. Yesh Litzayin Esbi'urei Shel Halach Meitoid Al Maimer HaGemar. So now he wants something very fascinating. He wants to take this and plug this into Maisa Bereishis. We all know the famous Chazal that Adam was the last thing to be created, and Hashem said, "Adam, if you behave yourself, then we will view the fact that you were created last as a Maila, that the whole world was created for you. You should enter into a prepared banquet. You don't want to come to a wedding and you'll sit down at the table and say, okay, thank you for coming to the wedding. We have to first cook the food. Give us 6 hours until..."
I didn't make, the grass didn't pop up
until he was Mespalo, until he was born, but everything was still even the Yitosh. Or we can say, but if a person does not behave himself, then we say to Adam, you're a nothing, you're the last thing, you're an afterthought. Even the Yitosh came before you. So the Gemara says that when you want to look at creation, you want to go take note of the fact that Adam was the last thing, there are two ways to look at it. There's a way, it's a positive way of looking at it, and there's a negative way of looking at it, and all depends on how Adam behaves. So with that in mind, let's go look at Adam Chava. That's not true, because when it comes to Adam Chava, who came last? Chava came after Adam. So that has an effect. How do we look at it? How do we look when we take the medrash of the Yitosh first Adam and we plug that into Adam and Chava? How does that change the equation? Sheyesh letzaynes biuray shalach meitoyde al maimer hagbar besugin shekasha zivuga shal Adam kikriyas yamsof al ma shamu bemedrash. I will not split before you because I am more choshev than you. Not only are you just a creature, you have been created by a woman. I was created directly by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you and your people were created, you came from an isha, so you're one step removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu than myself. The Yam was a direct creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A human being, if you're not the first human being, you're just a descendant of another. You come from Yilulisha. You're not a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'loy zubul vad ella. Here's the point that we need for our Gemara. We need for our sugya. Shani gadol mimcha shloisha yamim. Shani nivreisi b'yoyim hashlishi. V'atol loy nivreisa ad yoyim hashishi. V'heishiv loy moisha ad rabba. Hoil since v'nivreisi achakach. Since I've come afterwards. Achrein chav. So the Medrash Rabba says that coming last is a maila. Coming last is a maila. Acharoin chaviv. Uchmoi chayin binyan azivuk shamu zocha oy zartoy loy zocha kinegdoy. When it comes to a zivuk, if a person is zoychesh, a woman will be an assistance. If not, he will be a conflict. Ulchore yifla keitzal yitochin sheisha shenivris meish v'nivra achav mitzaloysav tim shalboy. How could it possibly be? There's ever possibility of who yimiv that he tim shalboy. How could it ever happen where there would be a Esli Ezer Kinegda Zocha Ezer Loi Zocha Kinegda? How could it possibly be Kinegda? She came afterwards. She came last. Whoever comes first is automatically in charge. So how could Chazal say that if a person does not merit, his wife will rule over him? His wife can't possibly rule over him because the wife was created after creation of Adam.
When I say that Chava was the second one, so God took
two Chavas.
In other words,
Let's see. The what was the time of the isha? Omnam nivresi achar ha'ish. I was created acharei ha'ish. Omnam acharein chaviv. The alkein amu kasha zivugoy shel adam kriyas yam. So he once said it's not a kasha. Just like we have this debate between the yam and Moshe, who should defer to who? And the yams, I'm not going to defer because I'm older. If I'm older, and therefore I'm the bala boss. I'm not going to listen to you. And Moshe says no. Acharein chaviv. Likewise, when you go look at Adam v'Chava, each one has a milah. Mitzad echad, Adam is older. Being older gives you shlita to be Moshe naturally. But on the other hand, acharein chaviv. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Yam. I came last. Coming last is more chashiv. So to each, by her coming last, she has an advantage of being more chaviv. Well, based upon this debate, these two different ways of looking at the difference between a man and a woman, each one has the milah of being first to being last. Well, lefi zeh be'er halach mitah. It never happened in my life that I was overcome, defeated. I was only defeated by an isha v'tinok v'haynu mi'oisatam be'achashehem nivru acharoinim. Since an isha and a tinok came after, isha came after Adam Rishon, and a tinok is the product of Adam Isha. They came left. So therefore, with the principle of acharoin chaviv, that principle wins. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, who came after the creation of the yam, prevailed upon the yam that it should split before him. Just like Moshe, the yam had to give in. Too was defeated by Moshe, who came later. Likewise, a human being will always be defeated by an Isha, and will be defeated by his children because they come later. Ela Isha v'tinek v'haynu mi'oisatam mi'achashachem nivu acharoinim tanosam b'tzidam sha'acharoin chaviv ulazos amru ben chacham yisamach af. If a person has a son who is wise, the father has simcha. Ben kisil tugas imo, it's the pain of the mother. What does that mean exactly? Behind lufish shekesha ben chacham, when the son is a chacham, ein chidush shemisamech es imo. Why does it say simcha for the father when it's a chacham and sadness for the mother when it's a kisil? The answer is, when a child is a chacham, it's not a chidush that the mother should be have simcha. Kesha ben chacham, ein chidush shemisamech es imo. Why? Because he roa al yodai sha'achroin chaviv memela gam hi chashuva yosem ibala me'achar shenivres acharoina. Just like the child, shehi roya. Just like you see that the child, and machashi roya al yodai sha'achroin chaviv. Just like the child came later on, so too she also has happiness because she also came after the creation of man. When the child is a fool, so then there's no chashivus. It's no acharoin chaviv. If the child is a foolish child, no one's going to say about this child, acharoin chaviv. Then, so she has tsar for herself. Just like for my child, no longer is there acharoin chaviv. So myself, relative to my husband, there's also no longer the principle of acharoin chaviv. So he's saying a very, very interesting drush in this pasuk, that the reason why the mother has simcha, the mother has tsar, is not the simcha and the tsar for the child. It's the simcha and the tsar for herself. Her status in life is dependent upon the principle of acharoin chaviv. If in this world this principle will be established to be true, then she naturally will have simcha, because she also fits into that category of being acharoin chaviv, because Chava was created after Adam. But if this principle of acharoin chaviv is dismissed, because we find that what comes later is less than what came first, then she will suffer for herself as a consequence, because she, her only claim to fame is she has come later. And if becoming later has no value, then she has no value relative to her husband. Okay, so what do we take out of this? We take out of this... What? Obviously, what do we take out of it? It all depends. If the Isha is chashuva, Nisha chashuva, So then you say acharon, acharon chaviv. So then she should be younger. But if it's not an isha chashuv, isn't that how it follows, the logic that follows? Okay. If it's not chaviv, then in order to establish her, she needs to come on to the fact that she's older. All right, listen, this is all nonsense.
Everything was created for man.
Yes.
Darkness was made first. So what was more important? Man.
Yeah.
Then the yam. So how can the yam say I was here first? Everything was created.
Not necessarily. The yam will argue that not everything was created for man. Or even if everything was created for man, you still have to take into consideration what came first. It's a very logical approach to life. Whatever comes first is more choshev. It's true, man has a role, man has a purpose in this world to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but still in all, Hashem created the yam before Hashem created man. And therefore, the yam has more value. And the yam felt it should not defer to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it should not split before Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the argument of the Yam. Okay, so Sach HaKol, all the least we take out of this idea is, it's interesting to take note that Chava was younger than Adam. That cannot be denied. No. On the other hand, you also have to take into consideration that Acharon, Acharon Chaviv. Just like man came at the end of creation, Chazal tell us, because Hashem says to Adam, look, you are so choshev to me, I didn't want you to wait. I didn't want you to come into a world that was empty and have to wait for me to create everything to serve you. I wanted to create the whole world and bring you into a prepared banquet. Likewise, you can say the same principle, Adam Chava. Chava came into the world, her chasen was right there. Chava is more choshev, and Isha is more choshev. That's a yisod that comes out of this. Chava, a woman, is more choshev because Chava came at the very end. She did not come, she was the very last thing of creation. That's an interesting yisod. Minig Yerushalayim, he says, was for the men to marry older women. So you have a precedent. Today, that's the newspapers. That's what they're trying.
Well, women's life expectancy is longer, so they said it makes more sense. Longer life expectancy, so that it's more logical for a man to marry an older woman.
It's more likely because the woman
she's
right,
gonna outlive him. She's going to outlive.
That's a fact. The women live longer than men. Okay. It's also what are the statistics? How many babies are born? What are the statistics? The worldwide statistics are more boys born and more girls.
Men are born,
more boys.
40 women are in around because men die younger and they get killed in war.
Men die, but women die in childbirth. Everything balances out. Women die in time of Chazal. They die during childbirth. There was a leakage of the pool of women in the world because many women die during childbirth. So it could be there were more women available, more women, less women than men, because on the other hand, the statistics are, this is proven, there are more boys born naturally than girls. Even in the frum world, even in the people who argue that observing the laws of Nida affect the birth of boys and girls. There are studies that the likelihood of a woman having a child of a male or a female during a certain point in her cycle, and being among us women observe the laws of Nida, how does that what?
A very small margin,
but there are still statistically in the world more males born than females.
I think it's 108 to 100.
108. That's a lot. That's a very big difference. So that would mean if there are more boys than girls, there should be no shidduch crisis.
Right. But they die more often.
So by the time they're 20 years old, what are the numbers? Are there more boys or girls? There must be statistics.
Remember that number.
That number. 108 to 100.
108 to 100.
They get killed in battles.
108 to 100. I mean, when you add that to the fact that women die during time of Chazal, they die during childbirth.
Boys are much more likely to have diseases that kill them at a very early age.
Violence.
go to war. Times to balance out.
Okay, so this is... Okay, let's go to the next sugya. So there is no resolution, it's just some interesting ideas. Let's go to the next solution. Now we go back to the sugya of kinui and stira. Here we have a new modern day question. When a husband sends a letter to his wife, I'm warning you, there's a collector coming to town, don't let him into the house.
No. Kinui. We had yesterday, that may not be a kinui. Don't let him into the house.
Don't have stira. If a husband sends a letter to his wife, I'm warning you, there is a collector coming to town to collect money. Don't have stira with this individual. He's a phony, whatever it is. Does that qualify as stira? If he comes home and he discovers that his wife did allow him to come into the house, is he still allowed to live with his wife? People have to be very careful. You can say or write in a letter. What? Stira is yichud. Is to be together, to be alone, to be isolated, to be secluded with a man who is not your husband. If a husband warns his wife that you may not be secluded with a particular person and she disobeys him, and there are witnesses that she had yichud, was secluded with him, she becomes a bona fide sota. And the only time she can return to her husband is if she drinks them the mei hamarim, the bitter waters. And being that in today's time it's impossible for that to happen, the husband is no longer allowed to live with his wife. They have to divorce, and worse, she is not entitled to her ksuba. So we discussed yesterday different situations, different expressions which a husband may use to warn his wife in today's day and age. Does that qualify as a halachic kinui warning? Today we're discussing this section. If he warns his wife in writing, he doesn't actually say anything to her. He sends her a letter. Let's see. No, they cannot get married. He can never marry her again. Never can marry her again. Of course not. There are witnesses. Witnesses observed. Yes, let's assume the case is where witnesses observed. Otherwise, there's no stira in Hanami. First question is, can you appoint an agent to warn your wife? I'm warning, tell my wife in my name, she may not have stira with this individual. Next, I don't know what that is. Let's say he does not actually speak, but he sends her a letter in front of witnesses. It's just as good. It's not like a shvua. Even when it comes to an oath, it's impossible. There's no such thing as taking a shvua through writing. Okay, writing is a category by itself. I'll give you a quick, very, very, very an example. On again, Lech Lemaisa, during davening, you're not allowed to talk during davening. We all know that during Pesukim, during Kriya Shema, are you allowed to write? Are you allowed to text during davening? It's a shail of ksiva. It's texting called ksiva. Is that equivalent? So obviously we're not talking about halachically, okay, it's not the right thing to do, and it's not derech eretz, it's a knesses, take out your cell phone at the text. I'm talking about in the laws of being mafsik during kriya shema. Were you mafsik during a bracha where you are required to repeat the bracha? Just you write it to someone. I remember once, you want to give someone an aliyah. The gabbai comes over to you and says to you, I want to give you an aliyah. I know you're in the middle of Kriya Shema, but by the time we get up to Kriya, the Kuli will already be finished. One Eshek, you just write down your name because I have so many things in my mind. I don't want to go and run around. Just write down your name. And the person is in the middle of reciting Kriya Shema. Is he allowed to write down his name? My name is Yaakov Ben Yosef. So according to very big Shaila, is Ksiva have the status of Amira? So he says over here, when it comes to the laws of a shavua, if you want to take an oath in Bezdin to swear that something is true or not, it's not called an oath. Because by the laws of Shua, the Torah used Levatei Visosayin. You must utter with your lips. There must be an expression. But the question, when it comes to Kinui, is writing a letter equivalent to satisfy the requirements of Kinui? So he says over here, even though when it comes to a Shua, it's not enough. But if we call Malcolm, I stop it with Zelufi Mashanema Biyushalmi, Davar Ze Kinui, Mashma. The word the devar by is used in one in the parish of Sota. I don't know which pasuk it is at this moment. Zekinui shemashma shadavka al yidei dibur have kino. We learn out the word of kino from the word devar, and devar is a dibur. So maybe kino must be done through speech. It may not be done through a maisa kisiva. Va'ayin shamot omnam b'shut even yikara. Nokat kidaver poshut shekinui alide kisiva moil gamken. He does not hold of this dik of devar, which means dibor from the shoresh of the word dibor, but he says it's similar. If you write a kinui, it's valid. Kishein a kinui elegilui das shel baal shehu moicha ba shalot hisoser implanted shibinav yichud so and so. Vihine. It says in Sefer Minchas Patim, she'evsha she'moyel kinoi aide ksav v'im sholach igeres aide hadar, through the post office, b'ksav yodo, handwritten letter, tzarechim im moyel she'evsha tzarech edim she'royim she'kishaboho igeres liyodo. You have to have witnesses to see that she actually read the letter. Kayotze b'zeh don hamarshav al dvar she'losoi, concerning a question that was posed to him, b'yechot she'kinei li'ishtoi b'yoyso b'ir acheres. He's another city. He wrote a letter. Al yidei habei doyar. He sent the letter through the post office. Michtav leimar. A letter saying as follows: Hizahari, be careful. Shloi titni lalun bebeisi esroish ploini meir acheres asher darko lovo lebeisi lemischar. V'yeshloi achsanya bebeisi. He says that watch out. There's a certain person that comes to the house. I always let him in. I give him lodging. V'yeshloi achsanai bebeisi avol keis. I normally let him come into the house. Avol keis she'aini bebeisi. But now that I am out of town, do not let him into the house. It was good we let him into the house when I was home. I could protect you from him. But now that I am out of town and he comes over here to stay, do not let him into the house. Avul ke'es she'eni bebeisi, he's zoher sheloi taniach oiso yan yodati kihu ish bilial. He's a base individual. V'noyef, he's an adulterer. Stay away. Uvabayis ain shum odam. And if you're going to let him in the house, there's no one there. He'll know what he'll do to you. V'yachar zman. And later he comes home. This husband, b'voyhu yish lebet lebeis ploni hanal, b'kesh mimenu oisa ploni shiolim b'beiso yuchotov li b'yayin omaloi ashalim eskimulcha lasher anitabe b'yach sanya etzlecha v'gam b'yoyscha b'derech ha'yisi b'beischa v'ishtecha zonso imi. He warned his wife, don't you dare let this man into the home when I go away. Alright, fine. He sent the letter. He did not know what happened to the letter. He assumes his wife read the letter and obeyed the letter. Came a time, a couple of months later, maybe a year later, he's on the road and he meets this fellow that he warned his wife, don't dare let this man into the house. And the guy says, oh, your wife was so nice. She led me into the house. And not only that, I was mezana with her. So he says, what? Yeah, I was mezana with your wife. So he runs home and he asks his wife, is it true? Is it true you let him in? First of all, I told you, I gave you explicit instructions not to let him in. And is it true that he was mezana with you? So she says, half of it is true. I let him in the house. He came around. I know I got your letter. You told me not to let him in, but he was a nebuch. He was a rachmanis case. So I let him in. I gave him the basement, like we always do. But mezana with me? Chas v'shal. That's not true. Okay. So fine. Do we believe the wife? Absolutely. We don't assume he was mezana. But the problem is she let him in. She let him in and she admitted that she let him in and she admitted that she got the letter. And she disobeyed his explicit instructions. So even though it's true that there was no znus, we don't suspect, we just assume this guy has a big mouth. And he says, I was mezaneh, and that we dismiss. But the bottom line is there was a halachic kinui ustira.
Yeah, if she was moida, then she would have to drink. That was all.
Exactly. No, but you can't drink. She was moida. She admits. She is admitting that I let him in the house. I received your warning, and I received your warning, and I let him in the house.
So if a woman admits to the stira,
yeah, you got a big problem. She becomes a soita.
And
yeah, well, that's the question. You need witnesses. So, okay, it's a question. If let's say we don't have one, but she admits, haidos bal din kimeya edim damia. It's a problem. If we don't have actual witnesses, but the woman admits it to being true, that is a machashayla. That's haidos bal din kimeya edim damia. How does that halacha play out in the laws of kinui ustira? But let's assume here, let's assume for argument's sake, in this particular case, there were witnesses. There were witnesses that saw that this fellow indeed came into the house. And he sent her a kina, he sent her a letter telling her, don't let him into the house. And she received the letter. And she disobeyed his command. So what is halacha? This was the question that was presented to the Maharsham. So the Maharsham, so he says, what should I do? Do I have to divorce my wife? So he told him, Veheshav Maharsham, Hinei, there are many questions. First of all, over here, you never explicitly spoke to her. You sent her a letter. Mokoyim Sofik. Then there's nothing to talk about. He seems to say that it's writing is equivalent to speaking. That's the first chumrah. He's machmir. You wrote a letter, you finished. V'nir l'chavi raya mechad mubu b'ramam. Brings a raya. She'isha she'ena shemas. El eina shoytse midlsiv v'omar elo isha. Prat v'mi she'ena shemas. We have a woman who's deaf. She can't hear. And you said, so it said, the Rambam Paskins, oh, such a woman does not drink the Mesoit. Why not? Because she can't hear the Kohen read the curse. The Kohen has to read the curse when he gives her to drink. What do you have to come on to that? There's a more fundamental reason why the Soit, a deaf woman, will not drink from the Mesoit. Because she can't hear the Kinoi. She couldn't hear him. So she'ena isha mas ve'ena isha mas kashul lahari b'lof hachi yevshul hashkesa b'loi kinoi without kina v'kevon she'ena isha mas yevshul lekane lo ayde habal v'lo ayde bezdin u'al karach de kinoi yevshul al karachach in maspi de kinoi yevshul al yide kesaf. The Iker Inyan Hakinu Sheteida. So here the Maharsham is saying a Yisoid. The Kinui is not a halachic procedure. It's just she should be aware. There should be a communication, email. It can be through texting. It can be through some revelation that the husband is telling this woman. Some form of communication. It can be through code. You do not have stira with this individual. Okay, so here we
yesh. Everybody knows that he doesn't like her.
No. Like no, it has to. Well,
why? If she's not supposed to, then the Baal doesn't even have to tell her.
Okay, maybe you're right. That's, you have to analyze the Maharsham. Maybe you're right. Maybe if it's so obvious, maybe if the communication, if the mitzvah is so obvious that the husband is makbid that this man should not have yichud with his wife, maybe that's what the Maharsham is saying. The Maharsham over here is saying is that ksav is sufficient because it's not a din of amira. It's a din of communication. And if the communication has been achieved, and the husband knows, husband has informed her in some way that she may not have yichud with this individual, she is now set up to become a sota. However, he said it's not a raya. He goes back to the case of the Gemara, maybe it's not so. Maybe the truth is you do indeed need an amira. Or if you need an amira, so we're back to the kash of the Rambam. The Rambam, it's mashma, the only reason why she cannot be a sota is because she cannot hear the koyhein. What do you mean the koyhein? There's a more fundamental problem. She cannot hear the kinyan of the husband. That's not a kasha. The case can be where she was able to hear. before, at the time of kinui, and then she lost her hearing in between the kinui and the hashka. V'ula yesh loyma de'itzrich elisha sheshoma b'shas kinui v'nischarsha b'shas hashka d'mikol mokoyim eina shoyse u'mikol mokoyim gam isfar d'miram d'mahane. It works. V'ein din zeh toli b'din shavua b'chsav shechol k'bay ha'poske mitam d'kasivna. He holds that it's not totally stama ksiva does work, and it's not equivalent to the case of a shua. Well, that's exactly
the Gemara gets into that.
That's l'choy, the same idea. That would be totally the same exact thing. Do you dafka need an amira or a ksiva? L'choy is another example of sign language. Or what about electronic correspondence? Electronic correspondence is not the same as actual amira. It's not an actual ksiva, unless electronic correspondence is even less than a kasiva.
Let's said before that you recognize its handwriting.
Right.
So it's electronic. Then you have to make sure
that it's digitally signed. It has to be digitally signed.
What about would that be a difference?
She could read lips. She can't actually hear. She could read lips.
That's the question. That is all part of the question.
You have to just look at it. The chosav, hakohenes, or also ho'ele basek there.
Yeah.
And then what's the end of the pasuk? Be yom rahu, shah mei or mei.
She has to also say, koyach ha'mira.
Say that she understands her rights, so to speak.
Okay, so these
electronic and actual siva. I mean, this is the modern way of communicating.
You cannot write a sefer Torah. It says by a get, the chosav. A get, it says the chosav. A sefer Torah we learn from the chosav. So it depends. Everything depends. Do you need a maisa kesiva? Or electronic is not a maisa kesiva. That's for sure. On Shabbos?
If you send
it's not a melacha deraisa. If you send an email on Shabbos, it is definitely not a maisa, it's not an isa deraisa. A text. It's not chil shabbos. There's no skila for texting on Shabbos. It's also, don't get me wrong, that's the very, very big on the sign today. Teenagers.
That
was the big on the web.
Okay, let's go further. It's a very big nisayon. A lot of teenagers have a very great nisayon not to text on Shabbos. It's a phenomenon that is eating up this country. It's that you have families, half Shabbos, children who are good, come from good families, yirei mushleimim. You're an adult, you don't appreciate the nisayon. Maybe you can, I don't know, it's hard for an adult to appreciate who did not grow up with this. We never had texting when we were teenagers. But for children this age, the nisoyon is so great, after bringing a psychologist to go into their mind, the addiction is so great, they can be children from the best homes, and they're suffering from this addiction of texting on Shabbos.
Wow.
Okay, let's go further, let's finish up. Uvibes yoisei v'taz kosav b'shem rashba shekosav adif mishliach. He says that again, this borders on a shliach. Can you appoint an agent to do kinui? Writing is better than appointing an agent. V'ayin b'ber heitev upischei tshuva b'din kinui al yidei shliach v'ayin b'shur chayim shoal shohichiach shemchol mokam chutz mishua umar b'malchus. Except for Shua, there's another example. Moirid b'malchus, ksav odif midibur. You hear such a story? If you are moirid b'malchus, you send a letter to Obama. Okay, there's two different. If you threaten the malchus, there are halachic, a good article. There are different ways to be married by malchus. If you're married by peh, that's much worse than if you send a letter. If you send a letter, it's not so terrible. Ula achar, if you write an article in the newspaper. Okay, and halachically, kesav odif midibur, he writes a chutz mishrum umroid b'malchus. Generally, besides those two exceptions, generally kesav is odif midibur. V'chaygavne u'v'knes agdelu b'shem shnei gdelu b'shekinu yadei shliach mahani. Ula achar sheherich hamar sham b'kame halachos hanoigim l'nidon sham sim v'kos. What was the psak halacha? Okay, what was the psak halacha in that interesting case? Okay, what was the case? The man told his wife in writing, don't let this collector into my house. Don't let him. And then, years later, he meets this person. He says, I went to your house. Your wife was so good to me. She let me stay there. And she was even mezana with me. He goes home. He asks his wife. He says, I was never mezana with him, chas v'shalom, but I did let him in. So the problem is, we have a kinui and we have a stira.
What happens if some?
Let's finish up. If she admitted shekara michtavoi, she read the letter, shekina la, the kivan sinshin is chyachta, she did a yichud, she admitted that she had yichud, hare shavya anav sheikhaticha de isura. This had a very harsh outcome, this story, Paskind. This man had to divorce his wife. A shocking story. This is a very dangerous story. This can happen. This is not something that's so far-fetched. Anav sheikhaticha de isura de asulo aval im macheshes. If the wife would say, she has a way out, and you know the truth is, this is what she has to really do. I think these type of stories that happen like this, that if you have these type of shilas, don't ask, don't tell, just don't admit. Just as long as there's never been an acknowledgement that she read the letter, even though she may have read the letter, but halacha does not recognize that a kinui has actually happened until there is an acknowledgement. So
there's no witnesses to the reading.
There's no witnesses, and she never admitted, even though she knew about it, and she did read it.
She admitted this hamdadeh.
These are very touchy questions, but there are many rabbanim that work with these type that have these type of heterim.
There was a real story about 25 years ago where a woman, she had a guilty conscience. She went on a business cruise, and she slept with one of the people on the cruise one night, and she came home, and afterwards she told her rabbi. And they had at the RCA convention, they discussed it, they were asking the opinion of all the rabbis if they had a responsibility to tell the husband. And they never did.
Don't ask, don't tell.
They didn't tell.
In halacha, it is a very powerful, very, very, very powerful concept. It's a very big yisoid in halacha. Don't ask and don't tell. It's not just, it's halachically valid in many situations, such a concept. And the Rasham is saying that. Something that he's saying over here is that if the woman over here would have denied, okay, so this is halacha. Okay, so bottom line, ksiva, according to the Marsham, is equivalent to dibur in the sugya of the kino yustira. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll take a short break.